Today on Seculo, President Biden makes his first overseas trip. The southern border is collapsing. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins us.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
The numbers keep increasing, and it's only going to get worse. You know, we're waiting to hopefully get some answers soon.
Can you handle these kind of numbers, your resources, your manpower?
No, we cannot. We cannot sustain this for a long term.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
In a few hours, President Biden meets his host, Boris Johnson. The G7 then starts tomorrow. He will meet the Queen on Sunday before a NATO summit in Brussels, and finally to Switzerland to meet with Vladimir Putin. So, three countries, 8 days, a big test for President Biden.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
It is a big test for President Biden because, again, this is someone who's been a somewhat elusive figure here in the United States domestically, not doing a lot of press conferences along with his vice president. They don't do a lot of sit downs with the media. They let their deputies, their communications people do that. But you don't see a ton of major speeches globally, but also the interaction. How does the interaction work? We do know historically, after this meeting first with the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, at some point there should be a press conference where media from both countries would be able to ask questions. And sometimes those are very difficult questions and can be testing for the relationships between those countries, but also for the individuals. Then you go to the to NATO. Again, we know there are issues that NATO has because President Trump was outright about it, the fact that one countries weren't paying enough of their fair share into NATO's budget. But second, that you have countries like Turkey who are rapidly changing who and what they are as a country under the leader of a strong man as a NATO member. So getting all the benefits of being a NATO member, but on paper, not looking like one, not looking like a country anymore. In the past it did, but not anymore a country. And then you move on, of course, and then it's the highlight of the trip, if you will of course, for the media, will be the meeting with Putin, which, again, will then be followed by a press conference. The question is this: is there anything of substance? How much are domestic issues overshadowing all of this? We've talked about that with our work that we do internationally. We felt like it was important to come on here, not just with an Israeli conflict happening, but to a number of times come on this broadcast, use our ability to get you up to speed on what we're doing overseas, what is happening around the world, because there's so much domestically every single day. And Than, I mean, I look at the new border numbers. So we now have May's numbers for 2021, and we are looking at 180,000 plus. So it's 180,034 people. Those are the people that had, quote, encounters with Border Patrol. That is up, when you look at the year before, so May of 2020, there were 23,000 encounters. There have been peaks, there have been spikes before, but what we've seen consistently is February 100,000 plus, March 173,000 plus, April 178,000 plus. Now we're reaching the 180,000 plus number.
Well, I think the biggest difference now, Jordan, is when there were spikes before, the last administration took it seriously and worked on making sure that the border was closed and actually deporting those who were coming in, and the numbers went back down. Jordan, what is so staggering and really alarming to me is that we are seeing these numbers stay at all-time highs, right around 180,000 for the third month in a row. Jordan, that's happening while the administration is standing down enforcement, while ICE feels like they're being sidelined and that their authorities have been really cut off. So if ICE is not able to enforce the law, if they're not able to engage in deportations, and yet the number of encounters still remains high, Jordan, that tells me we're just looking at the tip of the iceberg here.
Well, Mike Pompeo joined us in the third segment of the broadcast. We're going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the biggest test Joe Biden faces on this overseas trip is? Is it just speaking out? Is it being clear? Is it being clear to our allies as well as those who are supposed to be our allies, but don't usually have not been acting like them? I'll take your calls today throughout the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. What does Joe Biden need to do to help the United States of America as his first major trip abroad? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The idea here is, of course, we've got President Biden following up on his vice president's trip to first handle the climate issue, which has been panned by all sides of the aisle. I mean, Democrats, liberals, mainstream Democrats. No one thought that trip went well. But now the President of the United States is traveling. This is an opportunity for the White House. And again, not that I agree with their policies, but it's an opportunity for the White House to kind of make that go away to a bit, to where it's not as, it's not the single, you know, top issue everybody's thinking about, except for the fact that, and it was Dana Perino who said, the former White House press secretary, it's almost impossible to ever make an overseas trip as a president and not have something domestically that for the Americans you represent is more important at that moment in time. It might not be in the bigger picture of the big issues that are being discussed at a G7 summit or at a NATO meeting. But as we walk through the schedule, so he'll be with Boris Johnson. I think the most interesting part of that, again, is going to be the press conference. UK media is like ours, very aggressive, very upfront. They've had a lot of problems with COVID continuing in their country, continuing to spike, not at levels like it was before, but, you know, went from, like, I think 1,000 cases in 1 month to up to another 8,000 cases the next month. We're having that at the border. So we've had over 630,000 encounters by our border security just in February, March, April, May, and of course, that part of January that would count. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, almost 650,000 people that ICE or Border Patrol have come into contact with. We're not exactly sure what it means after that encounter is made. Some are obviously put into these holding facilities. Some are being shipped off to other cities in the U.S. So there is a catch and release aspect to this. There's also some that will be turned away. I think if you were caught at the regular ports of entry, those people would be turned away. But they're not saying this is the only people that have come here illegally. This is the people they've had some contact with who have gotten here illegally. And so, you know, when the president is abroad and still, yes, these issues are important, obviously, with the hacking that's come out of Russia, if you're going to address any of it and if you're going to put it in the forefront, not just write op-eds about it. But I want to go to Wes Smith because, Wes, I think for this administration that needs to kind of – the media in the U.S. is starting to turn, And listen, this is part of it. They did the same thing to much worse to President Trump, but they loved him as a candidate, and they boosted him as a candidate. He was number one during his presidency. They covered every second of everything he ever did. But they did turn on him. It was a scandal after scandal after scandal, or at least tried to create one. Joe Biden hasn't gotten to that point yet. I don't think he ever will. But they are certainly they are itching for access. They're not getting it. Now he goes abroad, rules change.
They do. They really do. And, you know, sometimes these trips abroad can be nothing but a dog and pony show. But dog and pony shows can be important symbols. Hopefully what is going to happen is that he will not do what his previous boss did. It will not be an apology tour on behalf of the United States of America, and that he will, as he talks with both our adversaries and our allies, that he'll do so from a position of strength. But here's the deal. This whole border crisis has the potential to completely overshadow his trip to Europe, and the vice president herself can overshadow what he's doing over there. You mentioned the unreal numbers of illegal encounters of immigrants crossing the border, over 900,000 this fiscal year. The U.S. fiscal year goes until September the 30th. But here's the thing, two-thirds of those, over 600,000 of that 900,000, have happened in the 5+ months that he's been the president of the United States. You know, it is unbelievable, and it is fundamentally impacting American society, national security-wise, the economy, drug cartels, human and sex trafficking. This is a real, real big deal. And at this point, the administration essentially is continuing to ignore it. Vice President Harris talks about trying to discover and deal with the root causes of what's going on what is really more strategically important now to the United States than his trip to Europe. If she really wants to know root causes, it's their policies that are the root causes of what's happening just in a matter of months at our southern border. If she wants to look at root causes, perhaps she should stand next to Joe Biden and look in the mirror.
Let me go to Dan in Arizona on line one. Hey, Dan, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jay. I've got a question on, isn't there adequate laws in place now to effectively push the Biden administration on the southern border issues?
So most of the policies that you may have liked under the Trump administration, and I go to Than on the Stand, they were policies implemented by the executive agency on executing the laws. So the laws are written in a way that gives the executive branch that has to execute the laws that Congress writes and passes. Then ultimately, so you can figure out, okay, what's the best way we now put this into practice? So there's leeway and ability to kind of then execute your own policies. The issue has been that the Biden administration has gone and said, okay, these weren't laws, so we're just doing away with all these policies, whether they were working, and many of them were, like Remain in Mexico, which these were all policies that were panned, saying from the start, there's no way this will work, this can never happen, the wall can never happen. On and on, but then that's the issue. That's why Biden has been able to go in and make these changes, and we are legally taking the fight on the FOIA front on a lot of these changes. But there is a lot of power when it comes to foreign policy. Remember that once you cross over those borders, that's what it becomes. But this is a lot of the difference between legislation versus policy.
Well, it's why we engage in the FOIA practice, Jordan. But let me start by this. I mean, to illustrate the point that you're making, Vice President Harris can say, do not come to the border, all that she wants. But this administration controls the mechanism by which they could accomplish that end. I mean, we don't have to guess about it. The migrant protection protocols that were in place under the Trump administration were drawing down those numbers. They were working. Folks were having to stay in Mexico while their asylum claims were adjudicated. And repealing those protocols absolutely exacerbated the problem. So we know that's the case. But Jordan, this is the exact reason why we filed our FOIA request in this matter. We want to know why the migrant protection protocols were repealed. And we want to know why something like Operation Talon was suspended. That's a program that goes after sex criminals illegally present in the United States. Why in the world would any administration suspend that, Jordan? And maybe most pressing, well, I don't know if anything's more pressing than Operation Talon, but as pressing, Jordan, why would the Department of Homeland Security disappear a press release about the apprehension of known terrorists crossing the border? Why in the world would they disappear that information? And then maybe more pressingly, when we encounter known terrorists, Jordan, crossing our border at this moment, Are we detaining them? I don't know the answer to that.
And we don't know because, again, we saw that there was a press release put out. They were proud of the fact they had apprehended these two Yemeni terrorists. They put their photos up even, confirming that. And then it was taken down. And if it was taken down for narrative purposes, it would still be a little bit more, I feel a little bit better about it if I knew that those people were still being, you know, apprehended, that they were still doing the work that we do. But we also have heard from Border Patrol over and over and over again that they are being pushed. They are at their limits. They can't sustain their work that they even continue to do. But here, this is an example. I want to say because a former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, from our team is going to be joining us in the next segment live. This is from President Biden's speech yesterday when he touched down. He spoke to U.S. troops in the U.K., and he had to preface his own statement, and I'm going to say it too, that this is not a joke. Take a listen, Bite 4.
This is not a joke. You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Global warming.
I would like to have those Joint Chiefs, Wes. I would like to have them now under oath and testify to say who from the Joint Chiefs, because that is a very broad statement to make. He didn't say the Joint Chief of Staff. He didn't say if it was a staff member on the Joint Chief of Staff. But to make that kind of statement, say that's the greatest threat, and that's the military's focus also, which would that just doesn't seem to align.
No, the military exists. I spent 26 years in it to win and fight wars. For him to make that, and it wasn't even part of a speech. He didn't have to say this, but to say that in front of those young troops, those men and women who took an oath to give their life in defense of our country, if necessary, I think was rather insulting and demeaning. And when you look at all the threats we face, the cyber attacks, shutting down the grid for oil, they could perhaps also shut down our electric grid. You look at the economy, you look at the combined threats of Russia, China, Iran, and yet he wants to say that global warming is the number one threat, you know, and that the military has to deal with that as the one number one threat. I knew a lot of senior military officers, both past and present. I think in private, not one of them would say that the biggest national security threat we face is global warming or climate change.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of where they are on the issue. It's also not the military's top goal. You don't say Pentagon, go out and declare war on the climate. I mean, that's just not how it would work. And at the same time, you have our FBI director. He's testifying. There's no question, he says, that Mexican cartels are using the border crisis and their activities spilling over. Surprise, surprise. Shocking statement, right? Coming from our current FBI director. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secula, former Secretary of State, Senior Counsel with the ACLJ. Mike Pompeo joining us now on the broadcast. I think this is a very important time to have Secretary Pompeo join us because of this being the first major overseas trip by President Biden. These serious issues that could be addressed and should be addressed while he's overseas. You know, overshadowed a bit in the beginning, maybe by what's happened with his vice president. But you know, things are again. There's certainly issues at the border. The new numbers are horrendous. But I do want to focus on, because Mike Pompeo is a former Secretary of State, the importance of these meetings going on as we look through the schedule for President Biden. He spoke to our troops, and then today meeting with Prime Minister Boris Johnson. So my first trip, first question, Secretary Pompeo, is how critical is this first trip for presidents? I mean, you're there as CIA director, then as Secretary of State. So just the glimpses that we see out of these meetings, which is usually through a press conference or joint statements. But how important is are these behind the scenes, what's happening, and also what we see publicly?
So, Jordan, very important. These countries are taking the measure of a new president. Many of these leaders would actually know President Biden. They would have known him from his time in the Senate, but they're now getting to see him as America's commander-in-chief and the individual that can deliver American greatness to support them. And so they're trying to figure out precisely what he's thinking. I think his speech, you talked about him meeting with the military yesterday, I think his speech was a signal to these leaders. He said at that gathering, he said that the risk from climate change is the greatest threat that faces the United States of America. And so everyone in Europe, I promise you, heard that, and they will take that to heart. Sadly, I think they're prepared to let the American economy suffer, the American worker suffer, to work to reduce carbon. And they're not about to do it to themselves. They're not going to destroy their economies on the altar of the Green New Deal. But I think they heard that loud and clear. I hope what they see from President Biden as he moves through his days of visits is they see the resolve, the deterrence model that the Trump administration put in place. But sadly, I fear that they're going to see American weakness. And instead of America first, they're going to put the Green New Deal first. And that makes each one of us a little less safe.
I mean, every time he's writing, he's putting anything out. You know, he put an op-ed out in the Washington Post, and he talks about any of the other issues, talks about the harmful issues of, called harmful activities of governments of China and Russia. He's, of course, going to be meeting with Russian President Putin. That'll be kind of the last part of this trip next week. But it's, and then even COVID, you know, COVID's there, but climate, it is climate. I mean, and his quote was that, you know, he was told by his Joint Chiefs of Staff that that's the number one issue. National security issue is that global warming is that, and it's again. I'd say Secretary Pompeo, regardless of where you are on that issue, that doesn't really seem to be the military's number one function or role, or any function or role that they would play. But then second, because I think what you said is important. It's this administration signaling to the world what they want the world to bring to the table, basically, which is all climate.
That's exactly right. By the way, I know most of those members of the Joint Chiefs. I would be shocked if any of those members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually said that in the way that President Biden described it. I know what they're worried about. They're worried about the threat from the Chinese Communist Party and not the threat from the potential increase in temperature across the next decades that are in front of us. They take that seriously. They want to make sure we deal with that as well. But the threat that they work on and focus on every day is the proper role for the military, and that, of course, is to make sure we're secure from the threats abroad, the real military threats that other nations pose to us. May I say one more thing? I will say something else they're very worried about. The military is also always worried about what you were all talking about before, 180,000 folks coming into our country. They know that the risk at that kind of scale, that a terrorist is able to get here inside of the United States, that someone who comes here with true malign intent, not just these folks who are trying to find a better life for themselves, but are committing crimes and conducting sex trafficking and moving drugs all throughout all 50 states. I promise you our senior security leaders all across government are watching that with absolute horror to see the change that has taken place over just now 4 months.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the numbers are just staggering. I mean, you look at February when it really started moving up, you know, got into the six figures, then 100,000, and then it has sustained 170,000 plus, reaching 180,000 of people that were encountered. That is the people that had an encounter with a U.S. government official, whether it was Border Patrol, ICE, someone like that, We don't know exactly what that means after you have an encounter. And we also, that does not include an estimate of how many people made it through without having an encounter. But Wes, I know you've got a question as well.
Yeah. You know, I think, Mr. Secretary, the threats we face are multifaceted. There is not one threat, perhaps, that's larger than another, but all of them together pose some pretty ominous threats for us. But if you were trying to describe to those young sailors and soldiers and airmen in Europe what the biggest threat we face as a military, I'm just curious as to how you would describe it and how you would put that in words. What is the biggest threat we face?
I always remind people, and I would remind those soldiers too, that the biggest threat we face to our republic comes from inside the United States. We've got to get things right at home in our schools. We've got to get America right from how we think about being American. We can't allow people to divide us by race or by culture, all of those things. We are Americans. Those soldiers and sailors and airmen that were sitting there in front of President Biden are great Americans no matter what their background is. And I would remind them of the importance of the fact that they work for the United States Army, not a factional divided group of Americans. Second, I would tell them that we've done a lot of great work on counterterrorism over the last 20 years. Important work. Our military has done a great job of keeping America safe. But today, the threats that we face are from great powers, and they are different in kind. We've seen it with the cyber attacks that have happened on America. We've seen it with respect to efforts to undermine us with information, and now with a virus that came from China. We need to make sure that we have a full-scale, broad capacity to defend America. And those soldiers, those young people that were sitting in front of President Biden, are the very people who can help deliver that security over the next 10 and 20 years.
Thad.
Mr. Secretary, Thad Bennett here. I wanted to follow up on your answer about the threats. I really feel like the looming threats of Iran and China and even Hamas maybe loom over this whole trip. I appreciate the fact that the president says that one of the main purposes of the trip is to express solidarity with allies. But I just don't know how you can do that when you're pursuing a renewed deal with Iran, given the current posture in China, and then even the emboldening of Hamas. How does he pull that off? How does he convince allies that they are indeed the focus, given the posture he has in other places of the world?
You know, it's interesting because we talk about Europe as a singular. That's a great question. We talk about Europe as a singular entity. With respect to Germany and France and often the United Kingdom on those issues, on Iran and China, they're frankly closer to where President Biden is than where the Trump administration was. We wanted to impose enormous costs on the Iranian regime and stay out of a nuclear deal that was going to put Americans at risk. Those countries are all putting pressure and have been putting pressure on the United States to rejoin that fatally flawed deal. So they'll find kindred spirit in President Biden on that issue. But other Europeans understand that Iranian assassination campaigns, Iranian terror, the attacks on Israel from Hamas funded by Iran, that those are things that are bad for them. And so you'll see a split even inside of Europe in how they respond to President Biden's posture with respect to both Iran and to China.
It's so important in this insight, too, as this trip begins, and to have people like Secretary Pompeo on our team, which we appreciate so much, and the Secretary spending time today, kind of walk us through, the importance of this, but also the statements already being made, casting down. I mean, Secretary Pompeo said it. We said it the segment before. Who on the Joint Chiefs told President Biden that global warming is the number one threat the military needs to encounter and it needs to face? And it just doesn't sound, doesn't make sense, it doesn't add up. That was just his intro speech.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Just to let you all know, too, with Secretary Pompeo, he has got a new piece up at ACLJ.org for us, the persecution of Christians in Nigeria demands our attention. We've talked about that on the broadcast this week. We talked about it last week with Secretary Pompeo as well. But he's put that down for you in a way so you can share it with your friends and family, that new piece up. Because, again, what can we do? How do we make that impact in a country when it feels like still in a time in the world where we don't have the same kind of connection we may have had internationally, even though we still have the communication abilities to communicate as quickly as we'd all like. The travel, which again changes the entire, I think, importance too of having Joe Biden there, seeing these world leaders together. They're all dealing with different levels of the virus still in their own country. While we are a country that's rapidly opening, and if you're in some states or in cities, depending on where you are, it already is completely open. And so masks are gone for the most part, except for a few places now, mostly medical, and it may be, like if you're going to get your hair cut and things like that. But again, it's that re-engagement with the world, which is very important. If you let the world just go along, you will end up with powers that do not like the United States and love the fact that you weren't focused in on them for these periods of time. So to talk about, I want to walk through his schedule just so you know what's going up. So he's going to be meeting today with Prime Minister Johnson. I haven't seen yet any kind of break to a press conference getting later in the evening there. That could happen, though. He's got some time because Friday and Saturday you have the G7. Out of the G7, usually you get a couple photos. Sometimes you get the moving photo. You see everybody standing together. There may be press conferences following that, kind of statements that come out of that. He does meet with the Queen on June 13th. I think, interesting enough, for the first time maybe in, I don't know if since our founding, there may have been other issues. There were the War of 1812 and other things. But the Queen plays a meeting that would usually be, and still will probably be, mostly a formality. And it's not like, and again, Vice President Biden, Secretary of State Pompeo said, this has been pretty much in his wheelhouse. He's done this before, but not as President of the United States. Except for now, we are the country of refuge for her grandson, who has not been. So, I mean, does he have to comment on that? Because remember what Prince Harry had said, the First Amendment was like bonkers, I think was the word he used. Not my term, by the way. But again, just the idea of the freedoms we have, shocking to people, even still from the country that we left. But now the U.S. is a place of refuge. I say a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but certainly the utilization. And again, does that bring up issues? And then, of course, the big meeting with NATO. I always want to know within NATO what's going on with Turkey, especially because of COVID and those issues. I would like, kind of see where is Erdogan. Where are they in this alliance? And then the biggest meeting, I don't think it's going to be the EU meeting on trade and technology. I think it's going to be the one that everybody's looking for, which is still not until next Wednesday. So it's a big trip, is the meeting with Putin. Now, this goes many different ways, because if you're a Democrat strategist, you have accused Putin of about everything possible in interfering with our elections. He might have something to say about that. He might have something to say about what the U.S. does abroad, overseas, and try to make those moral equivalencies. Will they treat this? Because I think the Chinese gave an excellent preview of how you could paint this administration into a corner using their own words about racial injustice at home and how bad it is in the United States and the issues that we're facing domestically. Will he turn those issues around and put it right on Joe Biden again, and kind of follow the Chinese approach to that meeting that was in Alaska, where they were just slamming the United States because of all the turmoil that was happening, and they were using the words of the administration against him. So there's a lot to discuss here, but we want to hear from you as well at 1-800-684-3110. We've just got an update too. And this would be outrageous if it was Donald Trump. No press conference with Biden and Boris Johnson. So the media, that means you too, no access. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
That was just coming to light. I mean, I said, I don't know if it'd be today. Let me look at the time. But I mean, yeah, the president arrived yesterday. He gets the meetings today with Boris Johnson, their official. Almost always, in at least the modern media era, modern meaning when you can have a video camera and a film of any kind, and you know, reporters for newspapers traveling, that this meeting between a new president and the prime minister of the UK, you're the oldest allies, if you will. At least you have a press conference. You usually issue, both make statements about the relationship and, you know, looking forward. And it's not very difficult to write that one out. But then you do have to take questions from the media, your media and their media. And it was just, that was normal. That was part of this process. It's not happening today. We don't know if that's going to be happening tomorrow. If you look at the schedule, there's no press conference on the schedule. It is again that hiding game of Biden. And when you're traveling around the world, and we all, as we were talking about with Secretary Pompeo, we know there's big things happening behind closed doors. But it is so important for Americans and for the world to get a glimpse of where is our leader, where is our commander-in-chief and the administration, what issues are they uniting behind, what issues are they struggling to conquer. You know, the list goes on and on. I'll bring Harry into the conversation now. But the idea, Harry, the immigration numbers, the illegal crossing numbers, you know, up to 180,000. So they've been in the six figures since the first full month of the Biden administration in February, every single month, but they're now getting into closer to 200,000, where they started out at 100,000. You have people, Border Patrol, ICE, saying they're at the brink. The FBI's admitting, yes, this is empowering the drug cartels. So there's a lot happening that you would get questions about, especially when you have so few press conferences. Has he only had one to begin with? Oh, that one that had like the six circles? This was like pre-COVID. So again, the idea that we have no access to our president, he's not having to speak out of these issues. And with president, I think the media, you know, they may have learned that from the media that, like President Trump learned, they will boost you, they turn on you pretty quick. The media is turning on President Biden as well because they need something to write about.
Precisely. And one of the narratives, which is growing in currency today, is that Joe Biden has deliberately, or perhaps inadvertently, thrown Vice President Harris under the bus by handing her a very, very difficult job. So on one hand, we are told that the border is closed. But on the other hand, every single action by the Biden administration tells the opposite story. So, Jordan, we confront, I think, a ball of confusion. Illegal immigration is exploding. Job growth is imploding. Inflation is escalating. Cages are overflowing. Vice President Harris is obfuscating. And the President Biden ban, it simply plays on. At the same time, of course, we are told that the U.S. border is closed. Vice President Harris tells Central Americans, don't come. But virtually every single action engaged in by the Biden administration tells the opposite story. So what we have, Jordan, is simply duplicity on steroids by the Biden administration. And their game plan, which is to blame every action or every problem, I should say, on President Trump, that narrative is beginning to collapse. And so if you look at recent news stories, we know that Fauci has not necessarily been telling the truth about the leak of the virus. We know, for instance, that the narrative that President Trump had the Park Police clear the protesters in Washington, D.C. so he could have a photo op, that narrative is collapsing. So at the end of the day, I think the best place for President Biden to be right now is in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, it's a place he like. We know they love to be there. We know they love their meetings, their time. And if you can go over there, have your tea and coffee, your sparkly water at the fancy in your fancy tables at these resorts and meeting set for world leaders, and you don't even have to deal with the common people, the press. You just get to act like an autocrat from another one of these countries that said, "I'm not going to do any press. I don't need to. I never really have. I never really am going to." It's just bizarre. It's bizarre because at a time when the world, I think, image-wise, Wes, we would like to see each other to get together. We'd like to see this kind of idea that, hey, work abroad can start happening again. It's happening at the with the state to state level now, which means also. It's good news for groups like us. I mean, that we could begin thinking about not just our offices overseas, which are still open and working, but, getting people together, having these summits again. I mean, so the visuals are very important here. The fact that I would love to see the visual of these world leaders who have all had the opportunity to be vaccinated for now 6 months, being able to have those meetings with their staffs in, and even if all we got was the picture, but just to show if they're not masked. But who knows how they're all virtue signaling right now, because we saw Vice President Harris with the Mexican president. He walks out, he's got no mask on, he's been vaccinated, she's still got a mask on.
Well, yesterday when he met the troops in England, every troop was required to wear a mask. The president and the first lady wore a mask, and yet all of them have been vaccinated. The thing about this European trip, and Mike Pompeo sized it up well, he said those leaders are making the measure of the president of the United States. They're sizing him up. And one of the most important things that a leader can project is consistency, so that rhetoric matches policy, that your words match your actions. And this is where I think one of his biggest weaknesses is. He is pretty inconsistent. For example, has tough talk about Russia and about China, and yet is going to allow the Russian pipeline to be completed. He talks about building the economy and strong union jobs, but puts millions of American workers out of work. He talks about getting tough with China, and yet President Trump had tariffs and extensive sanctions on Chinese companies, which President Biden has decided to lift. He talks about the border being closed and secure and don't come, but all of his policies are sending the opposite message. He stopped the Remain in Mexico policy. He's reinstituted catch and release. There's no wall. And you go down the list like that. Concerning his trip to Europe, in NATO exists for one reason, and that is to counter Russian aggression. We are there with our NATO partners with a strong military to deter that kind of Russian aggression. And yet he is already projecting that the big issue for NATO and for our combined military forces is not Russia and not Iran, but it's actually climate change. He talks about being bipartisan, Jordan, but he shuts down bipartisan conversations and he refuses to compromise. And so the inconsistency of his rhetoric versus his actions concerns us domestically, but when he's abroad in a foreign country, it's even more critical.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to listen, because again, we're kind of dissecting his first remarks, public remarks, which were made to the troops. It's kind of the intro speech you make, and already there were bizarre statements made that the Joint Chiefs of Staff told him climate change is number one issue facing national security and the military. He also, the threat, you know, number one threat, but he also said this, which I read into it in probably a very different way than Joe Biden would have hoped. Take a listen.
I'm heading to the G7, then to the NATO ministerial, and then to meet with Mr. Putin to let him know what I want him to know. We're going to make it clear that the United States is back.
Yeah, Than, I mean, one is, I don't know what he makes clear to Putin. I think we've all seen a couple of major hacks. Some of that was able to, the DOJ thankfully was able to get some of that back using cryptocurrency kind of against those hackers. We see this kind of daily. We saw the internet kind of fall apart a couple of days ago. Not an explanation yet there. But when I hear the U.S. is back, I don't hear that necessarily as strength. I hear that as we're back to be your bank. We're back to finance then your all of your initiatives on, you know, the climate issues and throwing money to Palestinians even if they don't make any changes domestically or politically. And that's what we're back as the world's bank.
We're back to going soft on China. We're back to a partnership with Iran. We're back to emboldening Hamas, walking away from our allies. Jordan, this is exactly why I asked the secretary about how do you convince your allies that they are actually the priority when those are the policy positions of your administration. And Jordan, I would add one layer to that. I think one of the ways you show you have solidarity with your allies is by making public appearances with them and by making joint appearances to the international press. So, Jordan, between this administration's policies and then the maybe only minimal public appearances, I don't think they're going to pull off that appearance of solidarity with our allies.
All right, folks, we come back. We'll start, again, taking more of your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. How much will we learn, if any, or how much are we going to have to be reading between the lines of these speeches that are pre-written made? Because nothing will go by, I guess, unscripted here. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls, your questions, your comments, 1-800-684-3110. So you worked through this week, and again, you look at the staggering issues still facing our own country, which is that while many of us are in cities and states that have basically reopened, there's still questions about how school is going to look. And, you know, even though it's like summer just starting, that's always just for parents, it's always right around the corner again. You're preparing for that. Schools also, how does that look? What does the summer really look like when we get past kind of in about 2 weeks? Most places in the United States are beginning to lift almost all restrictions. So then, of course, you know, businesses get to make their own decisions as well. And so it's still, you know, but that's down to only a handful of places now. So there's that happening in our own country. There's the border issue. There's inflation issues that are serious, and economic issues that are serious as well. We should see a boom, you would think, out of this reopening, but not if everybody is so worried about what tax increases may be coming and this idea. But there was also another statement I wanted to play in this last segment because you know, we talked about the Fauci emails earlier that week. He has been on defensive, unlike Joe Biden, the strategy which maybe works better of just go into your bunker and hide for those 2 weeks. And then, you know, hey, we got other stuff going on. It's the summer in America. People are happy they're out. He feels the need to constantly keep going out there. Well, he went out there yesterday and he is science. So when you start making claims like that, that you represent the entire world of science, not U.S. research, not U.S. science, even something less insane sounding, But I think it's important for people to play this because this is that God complex that people have not loved about Fauci, is that, you know, he's always certain until he's not certain anymore, which is a typical academic. It's not the kind of people you want to be your leaders. But again, I am science. Take a listen. By five.
A lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked.
This is what, you know, they said to President Trump while they were working for President Trump, you know, that we don't believe in science. They got the vaccine in less than a year. He didn't think they could, by the way, Fauci. He was all over the place on masks. I mean, masks became a political issue. But a lot of the reason why they became a political issue was because he first told Americans not to. And it then came, you know, a month and a half later or longer and said, do it. And then they started looking at Fauci more and saying, okay, this is a guy who's got a history of maybe putting a statement like that out so that there were enough masks available for the scientists. And even though maybe it helps, but then we got emails where he was admitting to his friend that, yeah, the science doesn't really make sense on this. So the idea that he's been consistent and the idea that it's been, yeah, I mean, it's been a high pressure position, but he is now being, his hypocrisy is being caught the way he treated and responded to the scientific community. And I just think in this last segment, because we're not getting a lot from Joe Biden yet internationally, which is, I think, again, not a great sign. If you're an American, because put politics aside, when our commander in chief is abroad, you wish that them well. You want them to represent our country well. You want other world leaders to respect us, to take the message home to their own governments that, hey, we have to, you know, the U.S., like he said, is back. But we hadn't gone anywhere under the Trump administration. I think people were scared to death of us. And I loved it. I thought it was great. We were back to being the country that liberated and the country that asserted and the country that didn't let you get away with things. And then suddenly we switch to, again, this idea of we're back, and I think it's back with the money. But I would like everybody's kind of thoughts on the Fauci statement, because this is how the left attacked conservatives who questioned anything about COVID was, don't attack science, and that was kind of the broad statement against anybody who ever had a question about the mask, why the back and forth, or the back and forth on where's the vaccine, where all these different questions, and you were just told, shut up, it's science, go along with it. But if you actually look at Fauci's statements versus his private comments, there was not clear cut.
No. And what I found amusing about his statement just now, that if you're attacking Anthony Fauci, you're not only attacking science, you're attacking the truth. So he's the embodiment, Jordan, not only of science. He is the embodiment of truth. He has been all over the board. If we're attacking science and he is science, science has not been consistent. It's been all over the board. You mentioned the one example of masks. Anthony Fauci had us spraying and sterilizing our groceries, only to find out months later that that's not how the virus is spread. We had plexiglass everywhere. That industry made $750 million last year. And now, recently, the CDC says that's really not a good deterrent, you know, to have a piece of plexiglass between you and your bank teller or you and your cashier, that's really not going to work. You're still breathing the same air. So, yeah, he's been all over the board. He is taking this quite personally, but he has personally been all over the board and has really caused a lot of difficulties with American and this disease, including the fact that he was the one who surreptitiously sent money to the laboratory in Wuhan on this gain-of-function research.
Yeah, I think he's trying to take our function away. But, Harry, this idea that, again, you cannot question Anthony Fauci or else you are questioning all of science forever and here for the future as well. This is one person. He plays an important role in the U.S., and certainly. But I think maybe we've started to see the inflated role these individuals have with their ability to dole out money, to work for the U.S. government, but not have to abide by normal policies of working for the U.S. government, which means you're taking income from other sources and you're not really a full-time government employee. And it's been exposed, and then your emails get released. Again, we all questioned how on earth did the FOIA process work so quickly for Fauci, but I do think it is because of who put the information in. And he's feeling it now, finally. It's not just Fox News. It's not just us talking about it. It's the mainstream of mainstream outlets. What happened to Vice President Harris as well?
Absolutely. So Dr. Fauci believes that he is the embodiment of science. He is the embodiment of truth. And so I need to compliment him on his humility. He reminds me of none other than Louis XIV, the King of France, who stated, l'état est moi, I am the state. And so Dr. Fauci is simply saying, I am science, I am truth. But guess what? Who has been more vindicated by scientists recently than Dr. Fauci? President Trump. President Trump suggested that there may have indeed been a leak from the Wuhan lab. President Trump has suggested certain remedies, which I won't mention on radio, and now those remedies are being vindicated by science.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, Dr. Fauci is confused, and I think he is definitely in need of counseling.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to be on the way out. And there's a lot of calls for that. They're starting on the right. But I think the left could be right there. We will talk to you tomorrow on Seculum.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.